الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
Apologies. الحمد لله الحمد لله أستعينه وأستغفره وأعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم Most honorable ulama, respected elders of the community, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Whether an individual is engaged in the performance of Hajj or not, the initial 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah essentially are a commemoration of the legacy of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And in keeping with this, the previous week's speaker addressed the aspect of the qualities of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam as enumerated and described by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem. With the permission of the Imam, I wish to just build on that topic by having chosen to speak about the parenting practices of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And in adopting this particular topic for this afternoon, the intention is that these lessons that are taught to us by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam are valid for time immemorial. Number one. So they have potency in them purely due to being prophetic practices of parenting, first of all. Second of all, as a parent myself, I find myself dependent on these anecdotes taught to us by the Anbiya and outlined by the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And third of all, raising children has never been easy. But in this day and age, it feels like it's even more difficult. And this is probably what is meant when people say that couples who are blessed with children, they enjoy a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And couples who do not have the privilege of having children are actually under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the state of the affairs. It's difficult. It's never been easy. But it feels like it's even more difficult in this day and age. So let's go straight into it. The first parenting practice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam in raising his children, and a lesson that we can all take. By design, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam shored his children up in terms of their conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he built confidence in them ground up. We all know that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's every single command unflinchingly. Without a shadow of doubt, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was unable to obey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any doubt. But when it came to the sacrifice, the instruction to sacrifice his own son, we observe a very different scene and a very different anecdote being outlined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. So, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam and to slaughter his son. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam narrates this particular vision, and the vision of the Anbiya is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He outlines this to his son, that this is the vision, this is the wahi that I received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I should be slaughtering you and sacrificing you. What do you think? What should I do? So his son responds, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam responds to his father and he says, قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Oh my dear father, do what you have been instructed to do. That you will find me, if you implement the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find me among those who are most patient indeed. Now, the Mufassirin explain under this particular anecdote that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam unflinchingly obeyed every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it came to the instruction to sacrifice his own son, why do we observe something different? Why was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after having decided that he needs to do this, he needs to implement the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why is Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam still seeking counsel? And the Mufassirin explained that this was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's method of showing up conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into his son. So his idea and his thought pattern was to test my son and to observe if he responds inappropriately, contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at this time, then I will rectify him. This is why Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sought counsel from his son. So he showed up the conviction in his son that this is how you submit to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in case, just in the event of the inappropriate response forthcoming from Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was determined to correct him, to correct his mindset. And he built confidence ground up by consulting his own child. It's no different to a parent in this day and age sitting down his son and saying, son, we intend to do Umrah this year. We haven't done Umrah for 10 years. We have never done Umrah in our life. What do you say? What can we do? Should we purchase a new motor vehicle? Should we replace our motor vehicle or should we go for Umrah? What can we sacrifice? What can we sacrifice for 10 months leading up to the Umrah that we intend so that we can afford it better? It's no different, my respected brothers. And may I just by saying that many of us, and I address myself in this, we may be doing a disservice to our own children. We may be doing, may Allah protect us, we may be doing a disservice to our own children by developing over-reliance on their professions and their skill set and the family surname. These are all ways in which we do a disservice to our own children, my respected brothers, by failing to create a balance between the pursuit of a profession and submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inculcating a lesson to our own children that this is where the limits of your intellect stop. And this is where you need to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a matter of submission unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Religious brothers, they're just trying to sort out the microphone. apologies, my respected brothers. So the second parenting practice we see from the example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his son. I've selected my words carefully, direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his son, because it's arguable whether an individual sitting with his child on the rivers of a bank fishing is actually ibadah. It's an indirect form of ibadah for all intents and purposes, but Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam engaged in direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his son. Many of us are familiar with the fact that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam constructed and built the Kaaba. But what we tend to forget is that he built the Kaaba with his son. It wasn't alone, it wasn't single-handedly, it was with his son. He engaged in direct forms of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his son. And this is how he did it. He constructed the Kaaba with Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, that وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was alongside his father when he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask my respected brothers, what's so difficult in a typical household where father and son have their own motor vehicles, inculcating a rule of the home that we come to the masjid in one motor vehicle? What stops a father and son agreeing to saying that the rule of our home is that we come to the masjid in one vehicle? Coming into the masjid in one vehicle is direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, emulating the example of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Even if arguably son wants to, maybe with the friends, you know, a new vehicle, whatever it is, we'll go with your vehicle, fine. But we have one vehicle, we accompany each other when we go to the masjid. It's a different matter if one of us run late, but the default rule in our home is going to be that we travel together to the masjid in one motor vehicle. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, while inculcating direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alongside his son, also taught his son that when you engage in direct worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a tendency for the ego to overtake. And you actually develop a sense of superiority over others who are not engaged in worship. So there's an example for us as well in that. When we come to the masjid in one motor vehicle with a son, and son makes a remark, "Dad, today is the 15th night of Sha'ban. So many new faces, so many new people." It's your opportunity to emulate the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The way Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, after constructing the Kaaba with his son, he said, "Oh my son, Rabbana taqabbal minna, O Allah, accept from us." Now he said to son, "Son, these visitors, they haven't come from, they're not our guests. They are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who come to the masjid on a big night, they're not waiting for mine and your approval. They're waiting for Allah's approval. They want Allah's attention. They don't want mine and your attention." So it's not an hour whim and our fancy that these people should or should not be in the masjid on the big night. They are waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. The third important lesson, my respected brothers, from the parenting practice of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam led by example. He led by example. And this is why this lesson is learned from when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was en route to sacrifice his son. Shaitan comes and whispers to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, "What are you doing? Are you a lunatic? Have you lost your mind? How can you sacrifice your own son?" Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pelts him with 7 pebbles. And Shaitan goes away. A second time Shaitan comes with an attack. And he whispers in the ear of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, where's your mind going? How can you slaughter your own son? How can you slaughter your own child? Where's your progeny? You slaughter your own child. Again, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam pelts with 7 pebbles. And the third instance, Shaitan himself comes to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam now and whispers, "Where are you going? You are about to be slaughtered. You have a life ahead of you. You have a future ahead of you." Same terms that we hear today. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam emulates the example of his own father. My respected brothers, the pelting of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam wasn't pelting void of substance. It was a message that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was imparting into his son. He was leading by example. That the whispers of shaitan, the whispers of your nafs, the whispers of your evil friends, they don't just take one blocking on the phone. They don't just take one rejection of a phone call. It's a repeated effort. It's a journey. It's not a destination. Turning away that whispers of shaitan and The whispers of your evil friends is not a destination. It's a journey. You've got to constantly do it. This is what Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was imparting unto his son. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a tawfiq and the ability to emulate this particular example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. The fourth parenting practice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for his children. He inculcated a habit of making dua for his children. And in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, if you think about it, even if, no matter how materialistic an individual may be in his or her life, or frame of values, if an individual is told that you have 2 minutes at the multism, at the door of the Kaaba, you have 2 minutes for accepted du'as, no matter how materialistic an individual is, that individual will not be asking for the latest iPhone. That individual will be saying, "Oh Allah, I committed zina, forgive me. Oh Allah, I disobeyed my parents, forgive me." That's a dua a person will be making. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is not at the Kaaba, he is building the Kaaba and is making dua for his children. He is building the Kaaba and is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Rabbana waj'alna muslimaini lak." Oh Allah, just grant me and my progeny the ability to submit to your commands. That's all. This is, while he's building the Kaaba, he's not at the Kaaba, he's building the Kaaba and he's making dua for his children and for his progeny, my respected brothers. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that there are du'as and supplications of three individuals who are not rejected. One is the traveler. The second one is an oppressed individual. And the third is a father on behalf of his child. In conclusion, my respected brothers, there's just another parenting practice to add on. And this is the parenting practice of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, of giving unconditional love to our children. We see it in the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Even after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam has already left this world, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam embarks on the journey of Mi'raj. He meets all the Anbiya, and all of the Anbiya greet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam saying, "As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah, as-salamu alaykum ya Rasulallah." But when he meets Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam does not greet in the same way. He does not greet as the other Anbiya have greeted Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, as a mark of his unconditional love for the entire progeny and for his own children, the progeny of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam in coming till the day of Qiyamah, he says, "As-salamu alaykum waqra' ummataka minni salam." He greets Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, "Convey my salam to all of your ummah till the day of Qiyamah." This is why, my respected brothers, this is why whenever we recite durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we say, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim," in response to the salam of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. This is why we respond and we include Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam in our daily durood, because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam sent salams for us, for you and I, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embarked on the journey of Mi'raj. This is the unconditional love that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had manifested for all of us who are his progeny. And if you just allow me to conclude by diverting away from this topic, my respected brothers. These are days where we've never lived through a period like this in our lives. History has never seen an occasion of this nature where lives are being lost. The Muslim ummah is being battered and being beaten all over the place. I just have two appeals, my respected brothers. One is, I see many young people here today, alhamdulillah. And I would assume that many are engaged in social media in some shape or form. But when those updates feature on the Muslims of Palestine, don't just gloss over it like it's fodder for some type of animal. Consider it. Let it be a moment of reflection and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second of all, my second appeal is to guard against this mindset that there's a huge spike in this mindset that what is happening is par for the course in the lead up to Qiyamah. It's supposed to happen. May Allah protect us from this mindset, my respected brothers. When an individual, when we are afflicted with a minor pain in our bodies, we don't accept the fact that we are aging and we're 40 and 50 years old. We keep going for checkup and we keep going every year for a checkup. This is the instructive nature of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith when he said that the ummah is like one body. If one is ailing, everyone is ailing. So this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had compared the ummah and likened the ummah to the human body. So in the same way, like how in our own individual lives, we don't ignore even the most slight pain, in the very same way, don't forget, this is not par for the course. This is the reason for us to be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making amends in our own lives. In conclusion, my respected brothers, just to sum up, we touched on the parenting practices of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and we tried to highlight just briefly four important points. Number one is the parenting practice of shoring up our children in terms of their conviction of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and building their confidence as best as we can. Number two is spending time with our children engaged in direct forms of worship and with humility, not creating a mindset of superiority in any way. Number three is the example of trying to lead by example. It doesn't make any sense for us to be scolding our children about using a device while driving when we ourselves are engaged in it, or allowing our temper to flare in a public place and encouraging our children not to do it. And number four is to constantly make dua for our children. Make dua for them. The trials and tribulations in their path, we are all familiar with it. Make dua for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect one and all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore this ummah to its former glory. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
We say jazakum Allahu ahsanul jaza to Mufti Muhammad Hafiji Sahib for that most valuable, inspiring and touching advices that Mufti Sahib has rendered. Alhamdulillah, Mufti Sahib is one of the senior muftis at the Jamiatul Ulama offices in Wolfsburg, doing excellent and sterling work, alhamdulillah, especially in the field of economics, in the field of finance, business, going around and having workshops and seminars and educating the ummah, inshallah, on that which is right and that which is not right. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase Mufti Sahib in his knowledge, inshallah, and may we continue to benefit from him, inshallah, and may he be an asset for many, many years to come to the ummah, inshallah. Two or three important announcements, my respected elders and friends. One is we want to say jazakumullahu ahsanul jaza to all those brothers who had so generously donated towards the blanket donation. Alhamdulillah, much of it has already been distributed to the poor children in Soweto, the very underprivileged, the impoverished children who don't have nothing. Alhamdulillah, Allah reward one and all for your contribution, and may it be a means of your entry into Jannah, inshallah. Thirdly, my respected elders and friends, you might have noticed that there are two collection boxes that are placed outside the masjid. The one is the green box, which is for the GMA, which weekly basis we contribute towards the masjid, towards the madrasa. And once again, we make an humble appeal today also. These are very valuable, mubarak and blessed, auspicious days in which deeds are most loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we request you to, inshallah, utilize this opportunity to donate generously. That is the one box. The other is an orange box, which is for the mission of mercy. The idea behind this was that to give some system and coordination to the less fortunate that are perhaps begging outside or don't have any other means of survival. So what happens here is when you contribute your sadaqah to this box, alhamdulillah, with the efforts of the Mission of Mercy, they have a special person who goes out and he vets and he checks these people who are worthy of your contribution. And the idea is that then a hamper is bought on their behalf, and this hamper is then given to them. They come and collect it in a very systematic and a very coordinated manner. Just like in a month of Ramadan, when we ask you not to perhaps give to the beggars outside or to the car guards, because a collection is being done for that purpose. Why? So to give it some system and some coordination, so when that collection is collected, this money is then dispersed to them. In the like manner, we humbly request you that, you know what, you place your money in that sadaqah box of the Mission of Mercy, and inshallah that money will then, alhamdulillah, with the efforts of Mission of Mercy, will then be collected and they will be distributed to all those people who are there. The idea is, respected elders and friends, we want your sadaqah. We want your contribution to be used in the manner, in a correct manner. We don't want it to happen where that money is being used somewhere else
and not in the manner that it is intended for. We have a very similar problem in Amerentia. We have a very similar problem at the shops also. They're asking you, please coordinate your money. Give your money to people who are responsible, who don't use it. You buy food, etc. They're selling that food, and they're using it for other purposes. So, well, we inshallah kindly request the brothers to assist us in this regard, that use your sadaqah money, drop it off in the orange box. Don't give it on an individual basis to the individuals outside. In this manner, inshallah, we will try our utmost best to ensure that your monies are used and distributed in the avenues that is most appreciated, inshallah. Will we do that, inshallah? Jazakallah. Then, my respected elders and friends, due to the unavailability of our normal venue for our Eid Salah, that we normally have our Eidgah at the Marks Park, due to it being unavailable, we had to then, inshallah, have the Eid Salah here at our masjid, inshallah. The times have been put up. Please take note of the times. Please take note of the times. Our Fajr has been delayed slightly on that day, so that you come one time to the masjid, inshallah. 7:10 is Azan, 7:25 is our Jamaat, inshallah. Then there's a break for 10 minutes in which brothers can, inshallah, individually read their morning wazifas and whatever else needs to be done. And at 7:10, the bayan will commence. And at 7:10 sharp, inshallah, the salah and the khutbah will commence, inshallah. So you come one time ready to the masjid, inshallah, with the intention that you will perform your fajr salah, inshallah, at 6:25. You will wait for a few minutes. Thereafter, the Eid program will commence, inshallah. Please pass on to the word to everybody. We make a humble appeal, as we always do, that listen to the marshals, listen to the instructions of those who have been appointed to make sure that the parking goes well. Unfortunately, I have to mention this, my friends. And Molana has also brought it to our attention that, you know what, it doesn't work that we're sitting with our children in the car, but we're parking in somebody's driveway when we put up a scene about it. What impression are you giving to your child who's sitting next to you? You're trying to tell your child it's okay. Tomorrow when you grow up, you must do the same thing. So you're not leading by example. We had an incident just last week. The brother just refused to move his car from the middle of the road. After repeatedly being told, he just refused. So my respected elders and friends, we have to lead by example. As Mufti Saab has so beautifully said, let us listen to the marshals, ensure we don't block anybody. And in this way, inshallah, we have a good Eid, inshallah. Very Mubarak, blessed days coming. Let us utilize them at full, inshallah. Jazakumullah.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أحد وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين تزودوا للغد أما بعد فيا معشر الإخوان إن من آداب المعاشرة الإسلامية أداء الحقوق منها ما على الأولاد للوالدين ومنها ما للأولاد على الأبوين فقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام والرجل راع في أهله وهو مسؤول عن رعيته وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال حق الولد على والده أن يحسن اسمه ويعلمه الكتاب ويزوجه إذا أدرك. وعن عمرو بن شعيب رضي الله عنه عن أبيه عن جده رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مروا أولادكم بالصلاة وهم أبناء 7 سنين واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء عشر وفرقوا بينهم في المضاجع. وعن جابر بن سمرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأن يؤدب الرجل ولده خير له من أن يتصدق بصاع. وقال الترمذي هذا حديث غريب. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما نحل والد ولدا من نحل أفضل من أدب حسن. وقال الترمذي هذا حديث غريب. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تقتلوا أولادكم خشية إملاق نحن نرزقهم وإياكم إن قتلهم كان خطأ كبيرا. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم إنه تعالى جواد كريم ملك بر رؤوف رحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي أرسل بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه أجمعين إلى يوم الدين، خصوصا على أمير المؤمنين سيدنا أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى أمير المؤمنين سيدنا علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه، وعلى الإمامين سيدنا الحسن والحسين رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وعلى بنات النبي الطاهرات زينب ورقية وأم كلثوم وفاطمة سيدة النساء رضي الله تعالى عنهن، وعلى عميه سيدنا حمزة والعباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما، وعلى الستة الباقية من العشرة المبشرة طلحة والزبير وعبد الرحمن بن عوف وسعد بن أبي وقاص وسعيد بن زيد وأبي عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله تعالى عنهم، وعلى أزواج النبي المكرم وعلى سائر الصحابة والتابعين رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة، اللهم انصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم، اللهم ارفع عنهم بطشه وكيده وعدوانه يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا ندرأ بك في نحره ونعوذ بك اللهم من شره. اللهم عليك بهم فإنهم لا يعجزونك. اللهم منزل الكتاب ومجري السحاب وهازم الأحزاب اهزمهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم اجعل شأنهم في سفال وأمرهم في وبال. اللهم أهلكهم بالسنين واجعلها عليهم. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا إنك جامع الناس ليوم لا ريب فيه إن الله لا يخلف الميعاد. اللهم ربنا لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا. اللهم العن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك. اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وأنزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عادا وثمود. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Thank you.